Good evening. If you would, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. I appreciate all the prayers for the message tonight. I've been really blessed by God and the things that He's shown me and the life of David, which we're going to be looking at. And I'm excited to share that with you and excited for the Spirit to speak and not me. I've been reading through the life of David for a little while and keeping track of the different things that I'm finding interesting, particularly all the pictures of Christ that we can see and the stories about David. Sometimes it's David who is the picture of Christ. Sometimes David pictures us and someone else pictures Christ or the situation. But I am... Now, where I am in the middle of is when David's running away, so I'm not even close to the end of David. There's still a lot more to learn, but I'm going to talk about the few of the pictures of Jesus that I've seen in the stories about David up until the time he's on the run. So we're going to start off at the beginning when he is anointed king. So Saul is was the first king of Israel, but the Lord told Samuel in 1 Samuel 16 to go to the house of Jesse because God had provided himself a king among the sons of Jesse. So Samuel went, and in verse 6, the boys, not all of the sons of Jesse, but the oldest sons of Jesse's came in, and Samuel looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Like David wasn't even considered, and then he goes through and looks at the other brothers, and it's not any of them, and it ends up being David who wasn't even in the running. He was out in the field watching the sheep, and Samuel thought the brothers were the anointed because they looked mighty. And why would anyone expect a lowly shepherd? And then about 1,000 years later, a descendant of David, oftentimes called the son of David, was also overlooked because of his outward appearance and because he didn't come as the mighty Messiah that the Jews, the same people, were expecting. Isaiah 53, verse 2, says, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He didn't come in the way that the Jews were expecting, and so they overlooked him. No one was expecting a lowly baby. And after David was anointed, life went on as usual for the Jews. They still followed Saul, and they followed Saul as if he was the king going on, and that's exactly what happened to the King of Kings when he arrived on the scene in Bethlehem, and the majority of the Jews kept looking for the mighty king that they thought was coming to deliver them. So now back to 1 Samuel 16, in verse 13, the Spirit of the Lord rushed on David. And then in verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. So David came in and played music to soothe Saul, and in that he won Saul's favor and became his armor bearer. And then in chapter 17, we have Goliath defying the Israelite army and no one wanting to fight. Chapter 17, verse 23 says, as David was talking to his brothers, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as he had before. And David heard him. So we have Goliath defying the Israelite army, and the Israelites' men were so terrified, and they couldn't fight the Philistine champion. They were helpless, and it all came down to the battle of the champions, which ended up being Goliath. against David. And the Israelite army, their lives were totally dependent on their champion being victorious. And he was, because David took, I think it was his staff, stones, a shepherd's pouch, and a sling, which are all things that shepherds would use, nothing that a warrior would ever need. But David went out as a shepherd boy, not as a warrior, and he ended up defeating Goliath and cutting off his head. And just like that, the son of David did what no one could do. He became the champion that crushed the head of Satan and became victorious over the grave so that his followers would not ever have to be afraid of the enemy again. And after that, the Israelites were able to forget what they had been afraid of and just chased the Philistine army. And the redeemed of the Lord have a champion who has already won and who didn't come as a warrior but as the great shepherd. Okay, now fast forward to the next fast forward a little bit to we're getting to him fleeing. Next, he became a great fighter in Saul's army, and he started getting a lot of popularity, and people were singing songs about him. And then he became friends with Jonathan, Saul's son, and married Saul's daughter, and so Saul started to become a little wary of David's power and the popularity that he was getting. And so David ends up needing to flee for his life. And so he runs, and it's very interesting where he goes in chapter 21, at the end of chapter 21. He ends up fleeing to Gath, where Goliath was from. And he's there, and the men see him, and they're like, they realize that he was the one that people were singing the songs about him being the great champion, slaying 10,000 men, and so David becomes afraid and acts like a crazy person and lets drool go down into his beard, and he's just acting like a crazy person, and so the king of Gath wouldn't kill him. And so the first thing that I noticed there is that David was rejected by the one who he was helping, or the one who he had helped and the one who he had served. John 1:11 says that Jesus came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. Jesus, when he came, he was rejected by the people that he came to help, to save, the people that he came to serve. But then what jumped out at me even more was what I found when I read David's cry for help while he was on the run. And while he was there in Gath, he wrote Psalm 56. So if we could turn to Psalm chapter 56. This is the song that David wrote while he was there, while he was afraid. And it's him crying out for help while he was on the run. He cries out to God for deliverance. If you look in there, I'm not going to read through it, but if you look at it, you can see that he knows that God is hearing him, and he believes that God is going to deliver him, and he has full confidence that God will save him from that he was in. And that reminded me of the son of David in the Garden of Gethsemane, crying out to God three times for deliverance. But here's where the big differences come in. Jesus, when he cried out for deliverance, he ended by saying, "Not my will, but yours be done." And he did that because he knew that for anyone to be able to truly call out to God for help and to have the access to the Father to even be able to do that and to cry out for deliverance, then that cup couldn't pass from him. And he had to take the wrath of God for the sins of the world for any of that to be possible at all. Because Jesus said, "Not my will, but yours be done," we don't have to be mighty because Jesus was. We don't have to be mighty in reference to David being chosen to be king. We don't have to be mighty because Jesus really was mighty when he defeated our enemy. And we don't have to follow kings that aren't really on the throne because Jesus is on the throne. We don't have to be afraid of our enemy because our champion already defeated him. He crushed his head as a shepherd, not as the warrior. And we're free to call out to God for deliverance and help. Jesus was willing to have God turn his back on him because of us. Because Jesus' cry for help wasn't met, ours can be. And that's such a privilege that we can come to God. We have access to God because Jesus gave up his access to God when he was on the cross. Jesus forsook what we so desperately needed. And he wanted us to be able to approach the Father. And the only way for that to be possible was for him to have God turn his back on him. And that's why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So now there's nothing left for us to do because he finished it all. He gave up all the things, everything that we have, all the access that we have, the way that we can be delivered is all because Jesus gave those things up to pay for our sins. And I'm going to this the Psalm 56. Someone wrote a song based on Psalm 56 and used a lot of the lines that are in there to make this song as a prayer to God in deliverance. And since the Psalm 100, the acapella group that Caitlin and I was in college, they had a concert a few weeks ago and they sang this song. And since reading about David and seeing the pictures of Jesus and seeing how the things that are true for us are only true because Jesus gave those things up for himself so that we could have access with the Father. And I saw this song now as we can cry, as a reminder that we can cry out to God for deliverance because of him, because he gave all that up. So I'm going to sing it. And as I sing it, think of it how I've been thinking of it, of us being able to call out to God because of what he did and because of what he gave up. I hope you can hear it. But if you want to look at Psalm 56 too, you'll see some similarities in there. You don't have to. My enemy.
my tears.
God, I thank you so much for delivering us. I thank you for the amazing gift that your son was in sending him to be anointed as king, but to still be rejected by his own people, the people that he came to save. And he is our champion. We thank you that he defeated death on the cross, and that now we can not be afraid of our enemies anymore, and know that he has won, and that we are now on the winning side. And I thank you for the amazing truth that it is that we have been delivered from our sin, and that we can come before you, and that we can pray to you right now, because Jesus gave up that access to you while he was on the cross, and you turned your back on him to pay for my sins and to pay for our sins. And I just pray that it will continue to show us truths about your son, and truths about what we were without him and now what we are in him. And we thank you for that, and we pray that you will allow us to keep that in mind as we live, and as we look at other people and see them as people that could be your children and that you love very much. And I pray that we will show that incredible love that you have shown to us, and that you showed to us by sending Jesus, and that you showed to us by protecting us and giving us all the blessings that you do, and teaching us the things that you do. So we thank you for your son. We pray this in his name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.